Welcome back to the Wall and Paw Pack Church podcast for your One Step Weekly. I am your host, Pastor Ken Platt. At Wall and Paw Pack Church, we want you to know God in a way that is going to transform your life, grow in that relationship with Him, so you can go and tell others that story. If you are local, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning for our 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service in Lakeville, Pennsylvania. And if you're not local, you can catch our service live on our Facebook page at 11 o'clock. The Facebook page is also going to give you a lot of other information and resources about our church. I also want to encourage you to download our app. That is your source for information regarding opportunities to serve, sermon outlines, activities, giving, and group studies. So just look for the Wall and Paw Pack Church app on whatever platform that you get apps from, and you can find it there. The One Step Weekly is a podcast that was created to help you take a practical step in your walk with God. Each episode, we examine scripture and develop a new perspective about the world around us. The Apostle Paul talks about the importance of being transformed by a renewing of our mind. And once we've determined what the godly perspective is, we talk about some practical steps we can take to apply that knowledge to our lives. The knowledge of God should change us. So this is our seventh episode on the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 10. Each one of these initial statements from Jesus in this sermon are packed with meaning and gravity. There is power in the lives of those who will take these words seriously. The people who take these words seriously, they're the world changers. These are the people who are seeking holiness. These are the people who are truly acting in a way that God calls us to act. And when you look at each of these calls to blessing, we see an invitation to true happiness. Each of these beatitudes is not about following rules, but it's about being an active participant in the kingdom of God. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Listen to that again and just reword it a little bit. Happy are those who make peace, for they will be called children of God. We live in a world that is in a hurry to claim that everyone is a child of God. And it's true. We're all biological children of God. But it doesn't take much discernment to find that many people do not claim God as their father or much of any other authority figure in their life. But here in this statement from Jesus, we find that the children of God can be identified by their capacity to make peace. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about the people you follow. I want you to think about all these people. Are they people who have a capacity to make peace? Are they peacemakers? Conflict is a natural part of the fallen world. My housing community is actually in an ongoing conflict with one of the garbage companies in our area. In the winter, they skip our community if they don't like the condition of the roads, which I get, but those days when they've skipped our community, the roads were fine. And they also come so early in the morning that many of us need to set out our cans the night before. And this is all well and good until the spring when the bears come out of hibernation and turn our trash cans into an all-you-can-eat buffets. I mean, the mess is overwhelming. Garbage all over the lawn and into the woods. Not just my house, but my neighbor's house too. And you can imagine how I feel about this when I have to clean it up at 5 a.m. so that when the truck comes 15 minutes later, that trash will be taken away. This is exacerbated by an unsympathetic customer service that just tells me I will have to set the cans out early, but they can't tell me what time. Conflict! You know, like, I'm sitting here going, like, I just want to put my trash out. Why isn't this easy? And so for the record, I know that this is a first world problem, and I can tell you, I sit on the phone with these people, like, trying to get them to be a little more empathetic, trying to change their ways to suit my ways more. So there's, I guess, some other stuff going on there. But it's conflict, right? And you have conflict as well. We have conflict that pops up in our lives every day. And everyone has a different way of bringing peace to a situation. But often we're just working to bring quiet, not peace. Quiet is what I get when I just send my child to their room after they've been disobedient. But if I don't address the disobedience in a conversation that brings lasting peace, then I have only brought quiet to the moment and not true peace. When you're in an argument with somebody on the phone and you hang up on them, you have not brought peace. You have only brought quiet. And you're still going to have to deal with that later. winning an argument by tearing the other person down so that they give up and they'd be the loser in the argument only brings quiet. It doesn't bring peace. Often it just brings more war. Just because there is quiet does not mean that there is peace. This also applies to how we deal with inner conflict. Maybe it's our spiritual struggles. Maybe it's just self-esteem issues or whatever. Like when we look at the person in the mirror or when we're alone with our thoughts, we often run from our inner conflict by drowning ourselves in entertainment or social media or hobbies or substances or bad habits. While some of these things can be beneficial in small doses, too many times we use it to deaden ourselves. We use it to try and quiet the moment, but it doesn't bring lasting peace. We use them as an escape and avoidance of the conflicts that need to be settled. Jesus knew that conflict was necessary for peace. He challenged those that were bringing warfare in the lives of others. When a woman who was caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, Jesus withheld condemnation. They all wanted to stone her. And Jesus said, whoever's without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. But even though Jesus did not condemn her, he also stepped into this place of discomfort. He said to her, he said, woman, go and sin no more. He stepped into her conflict. But to bring lasting peace, she had to address the sin in her life. When Jesus addresses the religious leaders, he challenges their pride. Their pride was the source of their greatest struggle. And in doing so, and in targeting their pride, he made himself a target. But it was their pride that was creating their hardship. Over and over and over again, Jesus doesn't call us to run from conflict, but to deal with it in a healthy and life-giving way. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace because he enters into our conflict and he enters into our warfare and fights the battles that we cannot win. In his death on the cross, he reconciles us to the Father and settles the conflict between us and God. The Son of God, the child of God, right? Blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called children of God. Jesus is talking about himself, but he's also calling us to take part in reconciliation in the world. And if we would take part in that reconciliation, then we too would be called children of God. Look, I know that settling conflict can be very complex and nuanced, but it doesn't mean that we avoid it. Instead, we should be people who long to see peace in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Ultimately, that means we become agents of reconciliation. Someone once told me that it was because of their relationship with me that they knew God was love. Look, I'm not saying that I always do this. I'm not always a peacemaker, and I don't always do the peacemaking thing well. But I recognize my part in that one instance in helping that person towards a reconciling relationship with God. Reconciliation is the primary motive of a peacemaker. Parents reconciling their relationships to their children through proper discipline and reflection on whatever was disciplined, through spending time with their kids to build their relationship with their kids so there's not a separation of fear, so there's not a separation of anxiety. Kids shouldn't be afraid of their parents, but they should respect their parents. Now, sometimes we think that, well, fear is respect. Well, if you parent your kids that way, that you're trying to instill respect in them by making them fear you, you're going to be very disappointed with how that relationship looks later on in your life. Because that's not reconciliation. That's conflict. That's quieting it. That's not addressing it. Parents reconciling, spouses reconciling, and moving forward in their marriage as life-giving partners. Just because you won an argument doesn't mean everything is better. Many times when you win an argument, somebody lost an argument and hurt is there, and that's not reconciliation. Reconciliation brings peace to both parties. Reconciliation says, together, we will find a life together and move forward. family members who reconcile past ills and become arbiters of hopefulness. Christians reconciling themselves to people they have traditionally condemned under the guise of love the sinner and hate the sin. You know what the problem is with that statement? The problem with that thinking is we spend far more time hating the sin than we do loving the sinner. But love is what reconciles. Love is what peacemakers do. It's the kindness of the Lord our Savior which leads to repentance. Not going, well, I hate your sin, but I love you. No, we love the sin. That's our job. That's what peacemakers do. Reconciliation is the primary motive of a peacemaker. Reconciliation within each other's relationships, reconciliation within our own hearts between us and God, reconciling the fact that yes, we're broken, yes, we're lost, yes, we are in need of God, and seeking out God for our peace. That is reconciliation. So your one step weekly is this: step into the conflict that you've been avoiding. That's what peacemakers do. They step into the conflict. Not to bring more conflict, not to win, but to reconcile. Think about the difference. When I step into a conflict, I'm not trying to win, but I'm trying to reconcile. I'm trying to bring peace into the situation. Make peace with whoever you're at war with. It could be the person in the mirror. Forgive yourself for whatever you're holding over yourself, for whatever you're holding over your own head. Or maybe it's a relationship. Do what it takes to reconcile that relationship. If that means getting counseling, go get it. If that means bringing a friend into the situation, then do it. If that means having an uncomfortable situation, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be known as children of God. Receive the peace of God. To be a peacemaker, you should know the Prince of Peace. Receive the gift of reconciliation and wholeness in God. Jesus is calling his followers to enter into the work of reconciliation with him, not to fight against that work, but to play a part in it. You won't have to look far for the conflict, but you will need the Prince of Peace to be a peacemaker. So may you be an agent of peace and reconciliation in the world around you. And as you do, may people say that you are truly a child of God. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Be blessed, and we will talk to you soon.